I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS On Air's Washington Weekly Podcast. Each week, we do like to touch base with the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy to discuss the latest on developments within the Beltway and beyond. Today, we will touch on this week's NATO summit, where we stand on impeachment and trade, Decision 2020, and a whole lot more. Joining me for the conversation, as always, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman from the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. So, Shane, happy Friday to you. Welcome back, and thank you for joining us again this week.
Thank you, Dan. It's always good to be with you a little bit later on a Friday than usual, but regardless, it's still good to catch up with you.
Absolutely. And I know we have a lot to catch up on. Maybe we can begin overseas. I know leaders of NATO member nations met in London, England this week for a summit. Can you speak a bit to the premise of this meeting, why these minds got together, and some notable takeaways? What occurred?
Yeah, no, this is important for the NATO countries to come together and sit down and look each other in the eye and go over some common cause issues and try and reach agreement where there is not a full agreement yet, for them to come together and remind each other that, you know, they're on the same team to protect the Northern Alliance is important. You know, I think everyone probably saw the headlines of the fighting between some countries, most notably President Trump and Canadian President Trudeau and French President Macron. But there was some real accomplishments that I think got lost in the mix that we should take note of. You know, to me, probably the most notable is the commitment to keep next-generation cellular network secure. This is important because the U.S. is concerned with Huawei, which is a Chinese telecommunication company, and their potential to access European networks as the continent upgrades to 5G. So I think this is absolutely noteworthy and a good development for not only our nation's security, but security of our NATO allies. Also, there was considerable thought about how to counteract China's growing strategic power. This is, again, significant. Also, Turkey finally signed off on an updated military plan to defend Eastern Europe against Russia. And this was being held up for a few months. So this is another step forward. But as I said, I think a lot of this got lost in, you know, the news just playing up the headlines that there was infighting when actually some progress was made.
Yeah, it sounds like despite what the media would have you believe, there were some very constructive dialogues and progress that was made this week. So that's great to hear. Thank you for updating us on that, Shane. I do want to come back stateside a bit and pick back up on our impeachment conversation, which you've been updating us on for some time now. I know this week there were some notable developments in particular, which occurred over the past 24 to 48 hours. But can you bring us up to speed on what happened this week?
Yeah, so I would say two major occurrences. First was a hearing in the Judiciary Committee where four constitutional scholars testified. The three Democratic, or the three scholars that were brought by the Democrats to testify all agreed that what President Trump has done is worthy of impeachment, while the one Republican witness did not. Not feel there was enough to justify impeachment. And secondly, this led to Speaker Pelosi instructing her committee chairman to start drafting articles of impeachment. This will probably lead to us seeing the actual articles of impeachment the second half of next week. But I would also note on Monday next week, the Judiciary Committee is going to have one more hearing where they'll discuss the actual evidence that leads them to impeachment. So next week will be another pivotal week that we should be following.
Okay, so it sounds like, as you said, next week is key as far as next steps, and I'm sure we'll have a follow-up on what occurs next week towards the back end on Friday when we speak again. But I mean, I'm curious from your vantage point where you sit down in D.C., Shane, what has the reception of this decision by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi been like? What have you been hearing?
Yeah, no, it was an interesting announcement. In the past few weeks, you'd started hearing rumbles that the Democrats may pull back and opt to censure President Trump instead. You know, I was always of the mind that they have gone too far down the path of impeachment to pull back. So I think most in D.C. expected this. A few in D.C. were maybe open to the possibility of some kind of transition away from impeachment. But I think the die has been cast that the House will impeach President Trump. As far as timeline, I mentioned next week, but I'll also say we are circling the third week of December, the week of the 16th, for a House vote on impeachment. The exact date is fluid. Right now, I would think it would be maybe Wednesday through Friday, but that could easily slip. So the 18th to 20th is what I'm marking my calendar for when the House will impeach President Trump.
Okay, so December is a crucial month here, so we'll continue to do some follow-ups. I do want to turn back to U.S.-China trade. I know it's been a couple of weeks since we last spoke, but since then, there have been some key developments. The sentiment has been a bit of a seesaw. We've heard some heated rhetoric, exchanges between both sides, many of which have been market moving as a result. Based on what has occurred, where do negotiations currently stand, Shane?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's you're dead on to point out that, you know, there have been some market moving events with the U.S.-China trade deal. But I think where we are at this moment is that negotiators from the U.S. and China continue their talks this week via phone, focusing on efforts to narrow their differences and reach that phase one trade agreement. This doesn't mean a deal will materialize, but it does indicate the seriousness in which both sides are pursuing a deal. You know, I think we have to also circle Sunday, December 15th, because that's when the next round of higher U.S. tariffs are currently set to go into effect. So I think that will provide a pressure point to try and push along these phone calls. If these phone calls continue, I'd be really encouraged if you saw these phone calls actually progress into a face-to-face meeting before this December 15th deadline, just 10 days away.
Okay, so that's something we'll keep our eyes on. But as you alluded to, it's constructive that dialogue is still occurring. So that's a positive sign. One last topic I want to touch on before we close out our conversation for this week, Shane, maybe moving on to the campaign trail, Decision 2020. It sounds like the field of Democratic contenders has narrowed further this week, including the drop-off of a marquee name on the debate stage. What does the current landscape in polling look like?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right to point out that Senator Kamala Harris has dropped out. She was, she had her best debate, probably the first debate, and had been a little lackluster since. And I think most observers, including myself, had higher expectations for her campaign. So I was a little surprised to not see her really get off the ground and get going more than she did. But with her absence, you know, it's been noted that, you know, on the debate stage, you're not going to have anyone of color or a minority. You know, the stage is being set to have, you know, your top four, which are Vice President Biden, Senator Sanders and Warren, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and then a few others make the main stage. But everyone's kind of watching those four. But some people are waiting to see if Mayor Mike Bloomberg really emerges, or Senator Amy Klobuchar, who is actually starting to rise a bit in the Iowa polls. And, you know, Iowa caucuses are just about a little over a month and a half away, February 3rd. So I think it's noteworthy to know that while Vice President Biden is leading in the national polls, Mayor Buttigieg is leading not only in Iowa, but in New Hampshire, which is just a week after on February 11th. So a lot of attention is now going to Pete Buttigieg if he's looking strong in those first two states. But I would note that Vice President Biden is leading the polls in the next two states, which are Nevada and South Carolina. So there is still a lot of movement ahead of us in this Democratic field for president.
Okay, well, it sounds like between the campaign trail trade and further developments surrounding impeachment, there will be a lot to talk about throughout December. So I look forward to doing so. But in the meantime, Shane, really appreciate you dropping back by and keeping our listeners informed. Hope you have a great weekend, and we'll look forward to catching back up with you again next week.
Great. Thank you, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Shane. And again, we have been joined by Shane Lieberman from the UBS U.S. Office of Public Policy in Washington, D.C. I do want to point out for our listeners, be sure to reference the latest edition of the Washington Weekly publication that can be located up now on UBS Online Services. Of course, if you are a client of UBS, just reach out to your financial advisor. They can provide you with a copy of the Washington Weekly publication directly. From the UBS On Air studio in New York City, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
This presentation is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. Neither UBS Financial Services, Inc. nor any of its employees provide tax or legal advice. You should consult with your personal tax or legal advisor regarding your personal circumstances. In providing wealth management services to clients, we offer both investment advisory and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct and differ in material ways. For information, including the different laws and contracts that govern, visit UBS.com/working with us. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA, SIPC.